Cannons had no effect?
Amanda returned to the conversation. Standing by the map-covered table, McGregory spread his arms.
None that we could see, my lady. There might have been internal damage, but there's no way for us to know.
How far away is it?
About 10 minutes.
Dearest brother, I suggest we use the rest of the bazookas and laws, including those from the Outlander's vehicle.
Take the missiles from the launch pods also?
No. Those can't be fired by hand. Just the light anti-tank weapons and those fiery things.
The Halflers.
She smiled, knowing how much he enjoyed correcting other people.
Those are the things. The Halflers.
Granted. Captain, have Sekhmen get them from the armory. Not slaves, mind you. Guards. The ones you most trust. And you are in charge of the matter.
McGregory smiled in relief.
At once, my lord. Certainly.
He hurried from the room, the attending slaves parting before him as if he carried disease.
And perhaps we should prepare the Outlander tank for our departure.
Amanda moved closer to her sibling. From his position, bent over the table, Richard partially turned.
Leave our ancestral home?
She lightly rested a warm hand on his bare arm.
Prepare to leave, darling. Purely as a precaution.
He shook her off.
Never. I'd rather die than betray our beloved father.
Amanda took a stance.
And what if the slaves use this opportunity to start a rebellion?
Richard went back to studying the table.
The guards will slaughter them.
While fighting the beast at the same time?
Richard moved more cannon to the front gates.
Then we'll use the gas.
Of course, but later on we're...
Not later! Now. Right now.
She blanched.
What?
I will immediately release the sleep gas outside the stone wall. The slaves outside will fall asleep, but that doesn't matter. They won't be assisting in the defense of the Vale anyway.
Their bodies will line the roads. Perhaps slow the advance of the beast. Legend says it won't kill if you surrender. This could work. No, it won't. Have you forgotten the guards with the Vulcan? If they fall asleep, they can't operate the gun.
I gave them the antidote.
Richard shifted the position of an oversized brass cartridge outside the eastern section of the stone wall.
Before this trouble began?
Yes. Anticipation is the cornerstone of victory.
Amanda watched her brother for a long time before speaking.
Most wise. Father would be proud.
She pressed her soft body against him. Richard moved another piece inside the citadel and smiled briefly.
How nice of you to say so, sweet sister.
Staying in the shadows of a tack shop, Ryan and the companions watched the growing bedlam on the streets of Novaville, waiting for an opportunity to move unnoticed. But it wasn't forthcoming. Slaves dashed about in every conceivable stage of dress. People were screaming. A glass window was smashed. Far off, a cannon boomed, and a bell started to clang. An oil lantern was smashed, setting a cottage on fire. At the smell of the smoke, horses stampeded from a corral. A group of rushing Sekhmen turned a corner, and a gang of prisoners in chains jumped them, using the iron links to strangle the guards to death. Fistfights were everywhere, blasters spoke constantly, and a weeping woman with a bullwhip was lashing at anybody near her. Crouched under a window, Ryan frowned at the madness.
This is getting worse, not slowing down.
Jack peeked out the door crack.
Good. Hides us from airs.
Unless a random slug blows off your head. But Ryan's right. This has become a full-blown rebellion, not just a simple uprising.
Mildred poured some water from a canteen into her hand, and then rubbed it on Shard's face.
Lisa and her people must be doing their job. Whoever the invaders are, they must be giving the Sekhmen a hard fight.
Death to the heirs.
Shard sat limply in a wooden chair.
The ward won't allow this to go on much longer.
Ryan pulled the vial from his pocket. He thumbed off the stopper and took a sip of the milky fluid. It tasted sweet at first, then burned its way down his throat like undercooked moonshine whiskey. Trying not to gag, he passed it around, and everybody forced themselves to take a sip.
Ghastly.
The last in line, Doc tossed away the empty vial.
If that does not kill us, nothing will.
Agreed.
Ryan scoured his mouth with his tongue. He wanted to hawk and spit so bad it was an ache within him. but he knew better than to waste a single drop of the sleep gas antidote.
So let's move, and leave the crossbows here. We don't need silence anymore.
Christy, Dean, and Mildred divested themselves of the cumbersome weapons, along with the quivers of arrows. Then, pushing open the door with the barrel of his stire, Ryan took the point. The rest followed him into the street, Doc with Shard in his arms, JB and Mildred giving them protective cover. At the sight of the weapons, dashing slaves arched around them, some reversing course and running away in the other direction. Then a ragged man charged into view, waving a melted rifle in a blistered hand.
The beast is here! It's at the wall! Run for your lives! The beast is here!
Ryan stared hostily at the blind guard as he stumbled off into the chaotic throng.
He said, the beast. Could it be?
The hair tightly curled, Christy nodded dumbly.
Impossible. After we dropped a building on it, it must be another tank.
Let's not stick around and find out. Double time, people. Shard, which way?
The wounded man pointed. In a two-on-two cover formation, the companions moved through the melee, avoiding conflict with the slaves whenever possible, and chilling any Sekhmen who came their way. Soon the stink of a dog kennel filled their nostrils, and Shard directed them to the right, past a beheading block, and then to the left.
Square one.
JB's hands tightened on the grip of his Uzi. The canvas tent was exactly where they remembered, but even if they had been interested in checking it, slaves had torn the material, and they could see nothing was under the canvas but gas canisters and still forms lying on the ground. The five-story tower dominated the courtyard, the gallows to one side, the blood-stained crosses to the other. A large garage door was partially hidden by ivy, its windows covered with plate steel. Two Sekhmen stood guard, both armed with pistols and shotguns. They constantly swept the crowds with the scatter guns and shot anybody who dared to get close.
Take them!
Ryan leveled the stire, and the companions did the same with their blasters. On Ryan's command, they cut loose at the same time. The guards were slammed back against the door, spouting blood in a dozen different spots. The older guard managed to fire his shotgun once, and then collapsed onto the street. A slave snatched it from his grip and raced away, whooping and howling, brandishing it like a trophy of war. Hitting the wall alongside the door, Dean stood guard, while JB took the keys from a guard's belt and unlocked the door. The room was cavernous, covering the whole ground floor of the tower. The floor was stained with the grease and oil from 100 vehicles, the walls lined with shelves and stacks of boxes, the entire place brightly illuminated by electric lights. But none of that mattered when they saw what was prominently sitting in the middle of the floor.
By the three Kennedys!
Doc clutched Shard so tight the man whimpered in pain. It was Leviathan. Intact and undamaged, glistening as if washed and waxed, surrounded by slaves, busy removing the very last tire. In 100 different locations outside the stone wall, a soft hissing began to sound from the ground. Fleeing slaves toppled over in piles, fell down stairs, and plummeted to their deaths from the scaffolding in the mine. Sekhmen rolled off horses, and officers tumbled from moving motorcycles, many of them mangling limbs and wheels with grisly results. In less than a minute, a profound silence encircled the ville, punctuated only by the crackle of small fires, labored breathing, and the soft whoosh of distant rockets launching from the top of the citadel toward the pre-dark war machine battering at the massive iron gate. In the garage, JB raised his shotgun and fired a round into the air.
Put those tires back on!
The kneeling slaves froze at the booming discharge, then hurried to do as they were ordered.
Look out!
JB turned as a snapping whip wrapped its leathery length around his gun barrel and the blaster was painfully yanked from his grip. He heard his hand crack and saw his index finger was bent backward into an unnatural angle. He clumsily raised the Uzi. Laughing, Eugene snaked the whip around his obese form and lashed out again, entwining the leather around JB's throat. Turning purple, the armorer clawed at his neck, gasping for breath. Ryan swung the SSG-70 in a short arc, pointing the big bore barrel toward the sneering eunuch. Eugene chortled, his bloated belly jiggling obscenely.
Shoot me, and your man dies. Now drop your weapons and surrender.
A pistol cracked, and the whip was torn from the eunuch's grip in a spray of bones and blood. He stumbled backward, screaming in pain,